Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, June 3rd, 2008 Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting. We will begin with requests from visitors and speakers from the floor. Is there anyone here to speak on an item that is not on our printed agenda? If not, we'll move on to our consent agenda, Mr. Manager.
Okay. Item one is approval of the minutes of the previous meetings of May 20th and 27th. Item two is a request to issue street closing permits for the annual 4-on-the-4th road race, Carrboro 10K road race, and the Gallopin Gorge 8K road race. Item three is award of the contract for the Gary Road culvert replacement. Item four is a request to approve the 2008-2009 budget recommendations from the Human Services Commission. Item five is an amendment to Chapter 4 of the Town Code relating to maximum accumulation of holidays and transfers to sick leave. Item six is an amendment to Chapter 4 of the Town Code pertaining to the stipend provided to retirees hired on or after July 1, 2007. Item seven, appointments to the Arts Committee. Item eight is a request to set a public hearing on the Butler Condominium's conditional use permit, conditional use district rezoning, and the associated 110 Brewer Lane minor modification.
And I'd like to amend minutes.
Okay, let's pull the minutes item out of this real quick.
And then
the appointments to the Arts Committee was requested to pull that. So
I have a question about number four also.
Okay. The dissent, the dissent agenda. Can we have a motion for 2, 3, 5, 6, and 8?
Second.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, one pass unanimously. What is the correction to the minutes?
May 27th minutes, Sarah. I'd like the minutes to reflect that I abstained from the vote on the Orange County Task Force, and let me clarify, I wanted to reflect an abstention because Orange County Housing and Land Trust, I wanted to clarify that I abstained because my concern for Carrboro is disproportional pay-in in the partnership, I unequivocally support the Orange County Housing Land Trust, that I knew that an affirmative, an abstention would be an affirmative vote, but I wanted that clarified for the record.
Another amendment to the minutes of May 20th. It's a typo. On the May 20th minutes, at the end, this resolution says for the Local Living Economy Task Force. So the motion was made by Dan Coleman, seconded by Dan Coleman. I think it was seconded by Randy Hellman.
Yes, that's what happened.
That's right.
and
we would have missed
he
that.
He probably tried.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll take that as a motion and a second for those two revisions to the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
Thank you for that, John.
Is there a motion on item seven?
Yes. It's me. Great pleasure to move that we appoint our former poet laureate, Neil McTee, to the Arts Commission.
Second that.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that we appoint Neil McTee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. And what was the other item?
I had a quick question about
number four.
Item four, yeah. And
the
maybe
Human Services budget.
Yeah, there was just one of the requests I wanted to ask James about. I'm assuming it's James, but the request from Project Turnaround, I just wanted to know the note says requesting funding proportionate per 2% of Carrboro residents served by PTA, and it also looks like they were kind of asking for, looks almost like a position or something in their request.
Lily Atwood is also here, the chair.
The chair of the Human Services Advisory Board. Lily, come on up if you would.
And you're right. Um, That's correct. That's the Town of Chapel Hill project. Well, actually, the positions are there, and they were asking us for $35,000. And they always felt that that was our proportional share of that based on the citizens that they serve. But they need to be reminded that Orange County gives a large chunk of money to that program, and Carver is in Orange County. So therefore, Orange County pays our portion. And $1,000 is what the committee has given for the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. I just wonder. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, sure.
Did you want to add anything to that, Ms. Edwards?
No, that's okay. it. That was the consensus of the group.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for all your work.
Yeah, thanks to both of you and all the members of the...
And to Joel. He's been there, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a motion on the request?
So moved.
All right. It's been moved by Joel and seconded by Lydia. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The matter passed unanimously. Mr. Manager, the fiscal year 2008-2009 budget, do you have any further presentation on it?
Not unless the board would like one.
Okay. This is the budget that we asked him to bring us. Is there a motion for the budget?
So moved.
Second that.
It's been moved by...
Before that, I'd just like to ask the manager to please tell us, tell the public the final dollar amount of the budget and the new tax rate that the budget mandates.
Okay. The final budget amount is $18,480,375, and the tax rate has altered slightly as a result of last week's meeting would be 68.63 cents.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The matter passed unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, could I just inquire to make sure that that motion included all of the attachments? There are a number of resolutions involved in the budget.
Okay. Why don't we have a motion for all of the attachments?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Joel and seconded by John. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The matter passed unanimously.
Thank you.
Mr. Manager, we are grateful for your leadership of our town, and we're grateful to your entire staff for what I know is a very complex process in developing this budget. And I think all of us on the Board of Aldermen and most all of us in the town of Carrboro sincerely appreciate your efforts to keep the tax rate as low as you can while providing the high quality of services that our community has come to expect.
Thank you very much, and I say thanks on behalf of the staff as well, and all of our department heads are here tonight.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Item D2, an update on the community garden project.
Yes. Michelle Rivest, who is our former executive director of the Orange County Partnership for Young Children, is here to provide an update on the community garden project that includes various sites around town, including our own Martin Luther King Jr. Park. So, Michelle.
Thank you very much. I am going to give you a slideshow presentation. Thank you, Drew. Worked. I'm Michelle Rivest, and I'm the former director of the Orange County Partnership for Children, and I'm here tonight to give you an update on the Community Garden Project. There are several people here from the partnership tonight, so I'd like to quickly introduce them. Margaret Samuels is the new executive director of the partnership. Maria Hitt is the Healthy Kids Campaign Projects Coordinator. Next to Maria is Angelica Oberleitner, who is the overall program director at the partnership. And behind him in the second row is Patrick McIntyre, who's our community development director. So you can see that we love our Healthy Kids campaign and this project, and they all wanted to be here to be part of this presentation tonight. I'm going to just take a few minutes to walk you through basically a slideshow, and all the photos in here are from the garden projects. And also, at the end of my presentation, which will only be about 5 minutes, one of the families, Israel Granados, is here with Nicholas, and they are gardening at Martin Luther King and wanted to say a few words. So we wanted to have them join us tonight. So Let me just review with you. Whoops. There we go. A little bit about this project. You remember I saw you maybe 15 months or more ago when we came to you and said that there was an opportunity to have Carrboro designated as a fit community through the Health and Wellness Trust Fund. So we were excited to partner with you. We were successful. I think probably because Carrboro is such a progressive community when it comes to health and wellness. We got a two-year grant from July 1st of 07 through June 30th of 2009. The purpose of our Healthy Kids campaign in this project really is to address childhood obesity, and we're so concerned about that issue here because Orange County actually has one of the highest rates of obesity in the state. So we've got five projects that we're starting. This is one of them. And this project focuses on creating community gardens as a way to encourage families to eat smart and move more. There'll be three gardens. There are two now, one at Martin Luther King Park, as you know, a second at the Carrboro Elementary School, and we're looking for a third site. The project, like all of the partnerships efforts, are really focused on outcomes, and these are to address obesity. We want to increase the access to fresh produce for low-income families in Carrboro. We want to increase their opportunities to learn about gardening and grow their own food. Many of our families live in apartments. They don't have yards. They don't have access to gardening opportunities. And we want to increase the amount of time that kids and families are physically active. Our target population is young children and their families. This is always the partnership's priority because we know from research and our own experience that this is where you can really make a difference in kids and family lifestyles. We are recruiting, have been recruiting Carrboro residents for these gardens, so we're limiting it to Carrboro residents. We're focusing on low-income families and families with special needs because they tend to have a little bit more problem in this area. And we really wanted to increase the cultural diversity of the gardening experiences. We have a very big advisory committee to help this project with all kinds of people from the university to the schools, the farmers markets, parents, Town of Carrboro, Cooperative Extension. Really, Cooperative Extension is our major partner in this. But this wouldn't have been possible without the great staff from Recreation and Parks. So I really want to thank Anita and Brendan for all their support in making this work out. And it has had a lot of things to work out. And to get this project started, what we did was we recruited families in a variety of ways throughout the community agencies, different groups, and we held a garden orientation meeting that about 20 families and 30 kids attended. You can see the diversity of families right there. We are very excited about that. Maria and Ellie are helping the families. This is another site. At this orientation meeting, families actually got together, parents and kids, and started talking about what they wanted to see in their garden. And the kids were, some of the kids were off in another room also planting their plants for their garden. Here we are at Carrboro Elementary School. This was several months ago, and families were laying out the garden sites. And this little girl came particularly dressed for gardening. I thought she looked lovely, and her mother was very open to this experience, and she was figuring out where she wanted her plot to go. Here's some families gardening together. So families come out and are doing all the work in the garden. So, you know, when you hear volunteers, it's really the families doing the work. Here's Ellie and some of the kids working at the MLK garden site. So you can see part of the process is just to get the plots ready and bring in the mulch, which also comes from the town of Carrboro. So thanks for that also. And at MLK, we also had another special day where the kids could actually say what they wanted in their gardens. And so there's some special features designed by children for their own garden areas. And obviously we had Latino families there with us planning that day too. You know, this is a good reason why kids like to garden, right? Playing in the dirt is a ton of fun. It's what gets them out there. They love this part of the garden. So we're right there achieving some of our physical activity goals and having fun at the same time. We've been very fortunate to have volunteers with us. This is Matthew Ansberger, who has his own landscaping company, who's gardening and helping with the design and guidance on lots of issues that we're facing, from water to fencing. He was right there with us. And, of course, water is one of the big issues for the garden. And prior to getting a big cistern, the kids were hand-watering all of their plants. But that's good physical exercise, too. So after all of that hard work of digging and hoeing and raking and weeding and mulching comes the planting, and we've already started harvesting. And here are some of the children at MLK harvesting radishes. So results. Here's where we are so far with just a year. Overall, 21 families, but I heard we recruited a couple more today, so we're increasing the number of families, 35 children. These are all preschool-age children. Overall, the majority are very low-income families. 70-80% are in the low-income, would be eligible for many of our community programs. And we're very excited that 82% of the participants are minority families. So we really increased the diversity and gotten people working together. Through this one-year experience of just having people in the gardens, we've learned a lot of community interest is out there in community gardening. We've had 25 additional families sign up to participate, but we don't have space, and many of these families would not be eligible. And so remember that our priorities are families with young children, low income, and these may not be those families. But still, they would like to have a place to garden in Carrboro. So, benefits of community garden. There are lots of benefits to community gardens for the individuals and the families and the town. These all come from research findings. So we know that gardening is a great way to increase access to fresh foods and increase the nutritional health of children and families in our community. Definitely promotes physical fitness. It's a big challenge to get out there and dig and push dirt around and mulch and so forth. We're also knowing that the children are learning math and science and about nature while they're out there. If you could have seen Ellie laying out the garden plants, it's a lot of math to figure out where all those 10-by-5 plants go and counting their corn seeds and pumpkin seeds and seeing what comes up and how nature supports the development of the garden. It's a very social activity. Anytime you're free on a Saturday or Sunday, you should come out and visit the gardens. Families can go on their own, but there's scheduled work days. And so one of the exciting things that we saw in the orientation meeting, as well as any weekend day, is that we've really got people from diverse backgrounds, some of whom don't speak any English. So you can hear multiple languages being spoken. And it's just great fun to see the kinds of seeds and plants these different families are wanting to plant and have planted in their gardens. Next steps for the partnership is program evaluation. We do that for all of our projects, so all the families who are in the gardens are participating in sort of a pre and a post assessment of their experience and their progress. We're looking for that third site I mentioned. Maria and Ellie and others in the community are starting classes for the families. There'll be a series of gardening classes at both MLK and Carrboro Elementary and Wilson Park, and some cooking classes as well. And, of course, the harvest. We started with the radishes, and more is to come. The tomatoes and the pumpkins are on their way. And then garden sustainability. That's a big question for the partnership and the advisory committee. How do we keep these gardens going? How do we sustain the gardens over the summer? How do families continue to sustain their efforts? So we're going to keep talking about that and working on that for this next year of the grant. So I wanted to invite you all to our celebration. We're having the Healthy Kids Campaign celebration this Saturday. It'll be at Carrboro Elementary, so you'll have a chance to see the gardens if you haven't already. You can meet our program partners, meet families. You'll get to meet one in just a minute. We'll have some awards for our donors and tour the garden site. So we are so indebted to the town of Carrboro for making this possible on behalf of the dozens of families who are gardening now and the dozens who will be gardening in the future. So with that, I hope I have a few more minutes left to bring Israel up. With or without Nicholas, I'm not sure. If we had a big dirt pile, he'd be up here. So. And Maria Hitt is also available to answer questions about the garden.
Hi, my name is Israel. I'm one of the families that is in the gardening also. I want to say a few things. Where I grew up, I grew up in a small town, and most of the houses had a lot of, you know, gardening. So every time I go to the garden, it's like it reminds me of my hometown. So I get three things. Here are three benefits that my family and I get from gardening. One is the taste. The organic helps us eat better, providing tastier fruits and vegetables. Nutrition is another thing. My family and I will enjoy better health with fruits and vegetables from organic gardening. And the third one is the exercise. My family and I, you know, we enjoy the exercise in the outdoors. It helps me build muscles. It's also great for the stress management tool, says my wife. And finally, I could talk about how important it is for my family to learn about organic gardening, to embrace it as the way to better health and practice with school, home, and our community garden. And thanks to Ellie for all the love and patience with our kids. Thanks to Maria for her wonderful Spanish. Without you, Maria, many of the non-English families, you know, wouldn't have the chance to be part of this wonderful program. So we love it every time we go gardening. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
I just wanted to say to Israel and Michelle that, you know, there's one other benefit. Having worked with school gardens in the Chapel Hill Carver City Schools for many years, having your family out there working together is one of the most helpful things that you can do. And I think that's wonderful. I was out at the MLK just recently watching all the families at work together, and I can't tell you how huge a benefit that is. And not only does that underscore everything that we think is important in Carrboro, but it also is really important to economic sustainability in Carrboro. So there's so many benefits. It's a wonderful program. I wanted to ask you, Michelle, are there very specific things you're looking for in sites to site the third garden? Or,
well, space is the first priority, of course, and an interest in bringing the community in. So we're happy to have that just be for that particular, say, congregation's families, but we'd like it to have a community feel so more people in the neighborhood could participate. Those are the top two.
Yeah, I was wondering, mm-hmm, with the coming on of the Morris Grove Elementary School, if that would be a site of interest, because they're at a point right now in development where if folks went to them and said, you know, we would really like to have some garden space, it's early enough in their process. And we also don't have anything north of town for families. So I would really support looking into that.
Or the county park that abuts that.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing there in terms of water or anything right now. That's the problem.
Right. Water is, of course, a big issue, but we're, you know, dealing it with at MLK by having a cistern that will actually bring water in. So hopefully it'll keep raining enough that we won't have to do that often. But, you know, that's the least impactful way of putting water.
It's a great cistern. So I was really impressed.
Nice job. And the grant funds can, you know, support those kind of purchases. So, but I know Maria and Angelica are paying attention to your thoughts about the third site, and I'm just out there as a volunteer now, so.
Well, thank you all.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time and for your support of the Garden Project. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Okay. Mr. Manager, item D3.
Mr. Mayor, I would call your attention. You did have a resolution in your packet. If the board wants to consider that.
I move. A second.
Okay, the resolution has been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously.
All right. This item is a request to consider reissuing the bond anticipation notes upon expiration
of the current bond anticipation notes at an unchanged amount of $2,590,000 and an update on the status of the sidewalk and greenway projects. And I won't read all of this, but this is to reissue the notes that are due to expire April 27th of this year and to reissue at the same amount. And George will also include an update on the current projects and the future projects. And I believe Adina Messinger, our transportation planner, will also be involved in the presentation. Is that correct, George?
That's correct.
Okay. So George Zai is our Public Works Director.
Good evening, everyone. It's me again, George, to talk about sidewalks.
For once, we're not going to just cut you right off before you speak.
No, I was hoping not. As Steve indicated, the board is being asked, I guess, three things tonight: to consider reissuing the bands, approve a budget amendment, and, of course, then receive information on the status of the sidewalk and greenway projects. And I will give a little bit of summary of the history, show a timeline for the remaining projects. I have some pictures of the most recently completed projects, and then Adina will also talk about some of the greenway projects. So that. This is a table that shows the completed projects to date of just the bond projects, and the point of showing you this is the number of miles, the amount of miles that we have indeed completed, and adding Phase 1A at 1.9 and Phase 1B at 0.53, you see we have constructed 2.43 miles of sidewalk at these roughly 12, 13 locations. We also have been working on enhancement projects. I apologize for the slide not looking too well, but you see here we have another 0.51 miles, and totaling that with the others, we're just shy of three miles that we have installed. So these were earlier enhancement projects, one done in-house and four that were done contract by contract. We've already had five contracts. This is a map of the latest enhancement projects, the Phase 1B and the enhancement projects. You saw some of these in progress when we were here last November. They, at that time, most were in progress. Some had not been started, but they are now all completed. I just want to show you some of these real quick. This is Pleasant Drive, looking back towards North Greensboro. This is Cheek Street, which is a different style here of integral curb as compared to the previous one. I'll go back here that we used, we had existing curb and gutter. And then this finished a section in along North Greensboro Street in front of Fitch Lumber, again using the existing curb and gutter. This is the project is called Brewer Lane, but it extends down towards Eugene Street. And the reason for this picture, it shows that this is at the terminus of the Roberson bike path, and this was part of the planning that this the bike path would end at this point, and then we would have sidewalk, which goes all the way out then up to the railroad tracks, and then continues past up to Franklin Street, to East Main. And really the focus here is the sidewalk on, if I can get the pointer going here, over here, which goes all the way up to the storage company, and down past here. And by the way, then connected, I should have pointed out on the map, connected to this is an enhancement project, which connected to a bond project, which connected to another enhancement project. And this is the other enhancement project. I was talking about on Old Fayetteville Road. There were two sections just past, give your bearings, just past over here is into Carborough Plaza, down along the apartment buildings, connects to the existing sidewalk down here. And then I think I have a picture of the other section as well. And I also wanted to point out that this was more than just a sidewalk project and was the reason for the enhancement, that the road was also widened and a bike lane was put in as part of this project. And then this is down at the far end, down at Jones Ferry Road, headed north. And you can see the bike lane here as well. This shows a timeline for the remaining eight projects that we have, and you have seen some of this before. The color coding here, hopefully, is easy to understand. The timeline up here, this is current right here, beginning of June, January of 2009, and going forward. We have these four projects, three of which, James Street, we have put an awful lot of work into and have the plans in virtually final form. However, we have talked about meeting with the neighborhood again. We made some major modifications, and we still need to do that. So that we have scheduled here for June. Shelton is almost done in terms of design. BIM is still in preliminary stages, and we almost have completed plans, I believe, on Ash. And I want to, my reason for pointing that out is I've probably been a little conservative here in the time frame. I think we can actually expedite this and still get this possibly under construction or out for bid this fall. And then the remaining projects here, we have Estes, Pye, and Elm and Davy, and we're already working, the consultant's working on the design of Estes, and then we have to pick up these other three. And then we would, you see the same color scheme here, design period, bid and award, and then roughly 6 months of construction. And how this is, relates to the reissuing of the ban will expire. What we are asking you to do tonight is reissue the ban amount at the current amount of roughly $2.5 million, and then that ban will expire May, right at about this timeline point here. And our cash flow is that we have enough with the 2.5 to construct up to that point. When we get to this point next May, we will obviously have to increase the ban. With that, I'll let Adina speak about some of these other projects. I won't let you. I'll ask you kindly.
That's all right. We'll ask you questions. I got a few.
Good evening. So there's no real new information on this table, nothing that you haven't seen before as far as the funding for both of the Bolin and Morgan Creek Greenway projects. The update for these is that the Greenways Commission has been working towards getting the planning part on the road and started. We're pretty confident that at some point this summer we'll be able to put both of these planning projects out to bid and get going on that before too long. The funding, as it was programmed through the MPO, has remained the same since it was initially put forth to them in 2003. What this table is showing, a little bit of it is new. These are the new projects that we proposed to the MPO for funding for their 2009-2015 transportation improvement program period. And what we have here are the projects that were presented to you all in November in addition to the Rogers Road sidewalk. And just this past May, I believe on May 14th, the MPO's Transportation Advisory Committee approved the funding for this time period, and all of these projects were included in that. So all of these projects have been approved for funding. What you'll notice in the last column is the fiscal year. And what that indicates is what we've put forward as to when we think we'd like to have these projects begin, although you'll notice that there is an asterisk, and whether or not those are actual funding years will depend not only on the town's budget, but also on the MPO's budget for these STPDA funds, and that will depend on what the other municipalities are putting forward in those particular fiscal years so that they can balance their annual STPDA budget. And if it doesn't get into a particular fiscal year, it just gets moved out. It doesn't mean that it's not funded. It just means that the year that that funding will be available will be moved out a year or two. And the MPO, what they're going to be doing is revisiting each year and allocating those funds as those years come forward.
If I can add to that for just a second, I think the key point is that the MPO has decided that there's a certain portion of all these, of this pot of money that will be spent in the town of Carrboro. So the question is not whether we'll get the, whatever it amounts to, just under $1 million, so much as when over a course of 5 years we'll get that. And it depends on what we're ready to do when and what Durham's ready to do when and so forth.
I have a quick question.
discussion under Member Barber's own Greenway section where it says 0.4 miles of Greenway, including a bridge. Presently, they've flagged for a bridge just beyond where Tripp Farm is. Would that then be costed for us or for UNC?
This is a piece of the Bowling Creek Greenway that is north of Homestead Road, and it would connect the Lake Hogan Farms Greenway and somehow connect up to the Twin Creeks.
Okay.
Twin Creeks Park. So, yeah. Are there other questions on this list?
Since the Rogers Road sidewalk west side is for fiscal year 09-10, when would we expect to know that we were in fact going to get it at 09 or 010?
About probably this time next year. So in the early spring, that's when, at least this year, the MPO went through the process of allocating the funds. So we'd know around this time next year.
I have a question about the multi-use path from Wilson Park to Essie's. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now there's kind of a path, right? Is this to enhance that?
Yeah, if you'll think about those wide shoulders that they put in on the north side of Estes, the wide shoulders go kind of right up to the Owassa easement. Mm-hmm. And so what this would do is, and then it kind of disappears. So what this would do is it would provide a path from that, where that wide shoulder ends, over to Wilson Park, and then you can get through Williams onto Greensboro, which has bike lanes. So it's kind of a way to try to extend that.
Okay, thanks.
And one last slide. And you've seen a variation of this before, and this is showing some of our kind of funding constraints with the bond. The top block here, big block, if you will, includes the band information. It shows the original authorized bond amount of the 4.6. And then you see we did the initial band in June of 2006 at 1.23. And then in February of 2007, it was increased at 1.360. And then at the total that we're at now, 2.590, 2,590,000. And then we reauthorize this again in November, and then are asking again to reauthorize it now. Point out here to provide the cash flow through May 2009, which is the point that I showed on that timeline earlier. And then the next big block below shows bond amounts spent and future bond amounts. And in this column, then an accumulative bond amount to kind of see how we're approaching the 4.6, and I'll just quickly go down the column. Here is the completed Phase 1A projects. Here's the then added in the funding for the enhancement projects, which have now been completed. And then my disappearing mouse, excuse me here. And then the Phase 1B projects cost to date, which includes some of the design for the other projects we've committed to, and that puts us at band spending of just about $1.519 today. And then we will incur some additional, we're already paying some additional legal fees, administration fees for the band. And then we have the remaining Phase 1B projects, which I showed you, finishing up design, construction, as well as engineering inspection. And that takes us right about to the $4 million. And then we've already, in the earlier slide that Adina had that showed the approximately $300,000, putting it at 4.3. And then showing potential additions now with town share, some of these other DA projects, adding in the town share amounts, puts us at about 4.4, 4.5, which is very close to the 4.6 amount. And I need to reiterate, I know I did this the last time, the notes here at the bottom and the costs, the remaining Phase 1B and additional project estimates do not include right-of-way, and we've been pretty lucky at this point, except on some of our enhancement projects, not to have to pay for right-of-way. The Greenway estimate is somewhat outdated. It was prepared in 2003, and the remaining Phase 1B project estimates are based on preliminary plans, although we've updated as we've gotten closer to some of the final plans.
I know that the increase in materials has affected the construction industry across the board. Have we been experiencing a significant increase in the cost of concrete and other materials that we need to complete the sidewalks, or more of an increase than we expected when we first began this project?
Well, certainly there's been, I think one of our earlier updating sessions, I pointed out, I had kind of taken an overlook look at what are the original, and things have virtually doubled in cost since these were first estimated, I believe, in 2003, 2004.
And we don't foresee that slowing down.
Not with the cost of petroleum.
Not with the cost of petroleum and with the need for concrete
in China. Excuse me.
No.
And then in some of the earlier, the first projects that we did, Quail Roost and Lisa is an example, which was combined with the paving project, I think that was the stark realization of how things had gone up. And then we adjusted several of our cost estimates after that, and I guess I should say didn't get burned quite as bad when we went out for bid. And the projects that I've shown on the timeline have been updated probably last in late 2007, but that was before the huge increase in fuel. So the target keeps moving and growing, sadly.
So will that cut down on the number of projects that we'll eventually be able to complete?
Potentially, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
This bond was approved by the voters in 2003, if I recall, in the fall of 2003. How long of a time are we authorized to borrow the money following the vote by the voters?
7 years guaranteed, and then there's a process to go through to request up to an additional 3 years. So a total of 10 years would be possible.
Okay, potentially 7 to 10 years, basically. Okay, because Rogers Road sidewalk is getting out there toward the outer edge of that time frame, for the 7-year time frame, but
right.
There's an extension process. All right.
I wouldn't want to depend on the expansion process or the expansion procedure.
Well, let's build in 2009 then, shall we?
Are we ready to move the item?
We have actually a couple of people who wanted to speak on this matter. Mr. Spalt, if you would come up.
Hi, good evening. I'm Alan Spalt. I live on James Street. And I learned patience. The year we moved to Carborough was the year that Carborough passed the bond issues to improve Main Street and Greensboro Street and put bike paths on them. And I thought, this is fabulous because our kids will be able to ride their bikes to Carborough School. They were just starting Carborough School, and those projects were finished as they left Carborough School to go on to schools farther away. But those projects were well worth doing, even though they took a long time. This is taking a long time, too. And I guess what really bothers me is James Street was one of the top priorities on the list when this bond was passed. Initially, interestingly, the pressure didn't come primarily from people on James Street, but people in the community that recognized there's the post office and the convenience store and the shopping center and access to Main Street on one end and two schools at the other end, McDougal School, and now with the Quail Roost project, there is a connection. So if the James Street sidewalk gets built, then people will actually be able to walk safely to school. That's a concept. And we walk it frequently and watch other people walk, and we now walk commonly on James and across Hillsborough. There's actually a crosswalk at the end of Hillsborough, and walk down. There's no more crosswalks to come back to any of our other streets, so we do that illegally. And maybe 1 in 100 cars slows down or stops if they see pedestrians. So we need to work on that. We do walk past the community garden, and it's fabulous. and I'm really glad to hear the report on it today. And I'll bet some of the people that work in that community garden live in the apartments that are down James Street across Main, and they walk along James Street to get there. And we also have a group home on Quail Roost. And one of the scariest things is that we watch people on from that group home walk to get exercise for their clients who are at least partially disabled. They walk with difficulty. They don't hear very well, some of them. Some of them in wheelchairs. So they're walking on James Street to get exercise, to go down to the convenience store and come back as a way of walking. I know that there have been complications on this project. That is, in the 100 block, there were some problems that I believe have been worked out. In the 400 block, there were drainage problems that took time to work out. My understanding is, and Mr. Size is here, that those problems have been worked out. 5 years seems like a reasonable time to work those problems out. And having said that the interest in the sidewalk didn't really originate with the people on James Street, there is virtually unanimous support among residents on James Street and in the surrounding neighborhood for this. I didn't get a chance to talk to everybody this weekend, but I talked to a few. And nobody said, oh, no, we've changed our minds. We don't want it, whatever. Everybody wants it. And I suggested that maybe we should bring some of the kids and dogs that walk along the street that need to be on a sidewalk. I am very disturbed to see this schedule. I've tried to watchdog this project some, and I've tried to be polite about it. I could lose my patience. It happens sometimes. But I have tried to watchdog it and to ask every year, how's it coming? We thought that it was ready to be built last year, and so I've kind of watchdogged it this year to ask people, how's it coming? When will it be built? And and that's when I really got the understanding that, yes, the problems have all been resolved. We know the design. No, there hasn't been another community meeting. I think we could get a community meeting pretty fast. I see this schedule, this color-coded schedule, which is very helpful, that says construction next January. Well, it isn't going to happen in January. So sometime next spring, as I wrote earlier, it's almost spring, which means it's almost winter. When does it get going? Because the construction season is short. I am very, very disappointed to see that this may not happen this summer. And I'll tell you, and I don't mean to be too dramatic about it, but people do have pedestrian accidents in our community. Carborough has been lucky that we consider ourselves part of the greater community, so I don't feel lucky about it. But the second to the most recent accident was over on Manning Drive, where one of the parts of the story was, well, I've got a pedestrian bridge all designed, and the construction is going to start next week. You know, that could happen on James Street. We have a plan for a sidewalk. We've been talking about it for 5 years. We have the money. And somebody is going to get hit on James Street. And I don't want to be in the position of saying, well, I just didn't worry about it. You know, and then next year is good enough. Because it's not good enough. Our neighborhood, we've been here a long time now, but our neighborhood is turning over, and there's lots more young people and young families and people walking with baby carriages and young kids and the group home folks and the folks walking to the garden. We need to build this sidewalk, and I hope that you'll be able to tell our community that it will happen this year and not next. It is not comforting to see that the money runs out next May, in the middle of the construction schedule for James Street. There are a number of people who couldn't be here tonight, and they asked me to, there wasn't anybody that I talked to. There are a couple other people that are here, but that nobody said we've changed our minds, including people like the Stuckeys, who were involved in one of the really complicated water issues that has been resolved.
I might say that I've lived on James Street since 1975, had three accidents going at night with cars who go down James Street and run right into my garden. They completely knocked out my rose garden three times at home. So this is something that's not about to happen. It's already happening because I live on the curb.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. We have another former alderman with us, Francis Shetley. If you would come on up.
I'm Francis Shetley, and I live on Hillsborough Road where it intersects with James Street. I travel that road several times a day, too many times really, but every time I go by there, I see pedestrians there sometimes, as Alan said, people from the group home, children, school children, and so on. And the bad part about it is that they have to travel walk in the travel lane because there's no shoulder. The shoulder dips off down in a slant, and they'd have to walk in a ditch. So they walk in the travel lane. And that's and I hope that you will put this as a priority. And the last thing I want to say is that I think we're lucky every day that goes by when we don't have an accident there. It is just waiting to happen. And I hope that you will put in the sidewalk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Francis.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak?
Okay. I'd like to note that we had gotten an email from Heidi Perry, mm-hmm. who's not here tonight, but who's with the Transportation Advisory Board, and she was advocating in that email very strongly for a sidewalk on James Street.
I'd like to ask George what would it take to move things up? So, because I know from having a long time ago been on the sidewalk commission that James Street being a collector and a conduit, a critical conduit, was something we talked about even then.
Mm-hmm. Well, of the projects I showed in the timeline, James Street is on the top of the list. And it's probably the farthest along in design of all those eight projects. So I guess I'm saying it already has been prioritized with what we have.
But why isn't it starting till next May? I guess that's
January.
January 09.
Yeah.
Why isn't it starting till next year?
With all of the projects that we have, there's economies of scale of trying to bid things together.
Okay.
And as an example, Quail Roost and Lisa were done as part of the paving project, not as separate sidewalk projects, so we could save money. The additional six were all then that were ready, easy to go, easy to design, and so forth, and we had plans ready, were bid together. Hanna and Boland Forest were enhancement projects. Mm-hmm. They had federal monies. They had to be bid differently because of the information in the bid packet. Mm-hmm. That kind of sets the stage so that when we try not to do individual projects. But we also have moved forward without waiting. The section in front of Fitch Lumber is a good example. We went ahead and did the rest of Greensboro. Okay. So with that, if we can expedite James Street, which I think we have the plans virtually done, the problem solved, as Mr. Spalt has said, a meeting with the neighbors to review all of that. If we can get, I would like to get some of the others done, but if not, we won't hold it up. It's a very large project, so we have some benefit by perhaps doing it by itself. But I'm also thinking of the administrative time, the inspection time that we have to put into mm-hmm. the projects as well, and with limited staffing sometimes. We have other projects besides sidewalk projects. Right. I'm not saying that this is not important. I try to balance all those things. We have a lot of plates in the air, if that's the right term.
I think we're all aware of how hard public works, and I was just trying to get an idea of what the
talking to Alan, Mr. Spalt, before the meeting, and he has he's been very patient. He's been very helpful in working with the neighbors, and there have been some tough issues, especially the drainage things.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, I guess, in some of these projects, when we have the neighborhood meetings, we found some were easy to design, easy to get going. James Street was unfortunately not right. One of those, and that came out of the neighborhood the meeting, and then you know, and then has been somewhat bogged with the design issues as well as all of the other projects that we have. So I know what everybody's wanting to hear is that can we expedite it, and we will try to do that.
Has the neighborhood meeting been set? You said that there was a need to have it.
It has not been set, and I think by the schedule here, if we're going to get going here, we have to do it in June and at least give folks a couple of weeks of notice and so forth. And I think, as Alan pointed out, that hopefully will not be too much of a challenge to do that. We would hold it here.
Sounds like the neighbors are ready.
Yeah, we're ready.
other than the neighborhood meeting, what are the next steps if you were to expedite it?
Can you go back to the
go back to I think the bid.
We have the same a drainage issue with Shelton Street. It's a much smaller project, but something that has to be worked out with one of the neighbors. Ash is just about done. BIM is still in preliminary stages. So I guess my point here is if we could get two, if not three, of the four ready, we would be sooner than we would have it out for bid this fall and hopefully started this fall, if not late summer. We won't hold it. If we're struggling with BIM, for example, we're not going to hold the other projects.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But, George, I'm guessing that probably would mean if we were to go, let's say, with James and Shelton, probably BIM and Ash would be pushed out to bid with Estes and the other project, because every time we bid one of those projects, we're paying mobilization cost and administrative cost.
Right.
And so we surely don't want to do a very small project on its own, because I'm very concerned if the board chooses to move forward and authorize the full $4.6 million, that some of these numbers, like the Greenway numbers, are very old, and with the cost escalating, we'll be very lucky to do everything up here for the $4.6 million. And
right.
So we need to we want to move as quickly as we can, because that's a cost as well with inflation, but we also don't want to do a lot of small projects because we're paying a premium when we do that.
Well, are any of, you know, I hate to ask this question, because I know in my own mind, I thought James Street was, and I understand, was a high priority, but the next highest priority, quite frankly, is Estes, because just of the amount of pedestrian and bicycle traffic that we have seen. And so I'm just curious about whether we can look to see if we push BIM and Ash, what effect that would have on Estes.
I'll just try to point out that the way the timeline is shown here, we've already been working on Estes and has, you know, it has the priority as well, but it also has some more challenges yet we need to work out, hence the meeting with the DOT, and we've already made some modifications. Things have changed. I mean, we had a project, and now we have shoulders, and as nice as the shoulders have been, in addition, that totally changes our plans, which had the curb and gutter and so forth up much closer, so we have to make changes. Adjusting some of the others, I guess if anything, maybe funding is more of a concern than time-wise and so forth. You know, as we talk here about the limited funds, and we're trying to, again, have the, you know, James Street has been talked about, but I should point out that I have gotten some calls and inquiries from the folks on these other projects as well. And they know these folks. We've had the meetings. They're as patient, if not more patient, than Mr. Spall. So we're trying to do all of them, and again, try to move forward with ones that we aren't slowing down, so that we can keep the easier, somewhat relatively easier ones going, and then try to work out some of these other issues.
Okay. Well, how about just giving us maybe a 5-minute update at our last meeting, just to see where we are.
On the James Street in particular.
Yeah, and Shelton. Just all of them sort of in particular, if anything has changed in relation to where we are.
You mean our last meeting before we go on break?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a reasonable amount of time to see movement?
It's 3 weeks. I'll do my best.
Okay.
Well, I think you've heard from the residents, and I think it's clear the Board of Aldermen shares their concern and their interest in trying to move the James Street project along. Please act accordingly. Is there a resolution that we need to adopt?
Yes, a resolution and a budget amendment.
Okay.
There's a motion for the resolution and the budget amendment.
Both, second.
And seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. Thanks very much. Are there any other matters from the manager or the attorney?
Okay. I have a problem.
Which one?
Well, I have many problems.
Something less.
Yeah. I'm on the executive committee for the Project End Homelessness in 10 years, and I'm the only Carbro person on that committee, mm-hmm. which I don't mind. It's a good group. I'm also on the Greenways Commission. They meet at the same time, at the exact same time. They're not even like I can go to one at 6 and another one at 7:30. They're meeting at the same time. So I'm constantly feeling like I'm ignoring one, and then I ignore the other one. So I'm.
When's the homeless one meet?
The homeless one meets, and that one I feel is really important for me to be on because it's because I'm also our representative on the land trust, and I'm our representative on the group that's trying to work out the funding for both the homeless project and for the. Funding shortfalls for maintenance of. So I've got all this housing stuff.
When does the other one meet?
The other one, the Greenways meets
Wednesday.
Well, it's the first Wednesday. Right. They both meet the first Wednesday at like 6:30. So what I need to know is, do you think that they're going to change that, Randy? Since we're coming into summer. If it's not going to change, I could use somebody else.
I'd be willing to sub for you, but until the legislature leaves.
I know.
My best guess is that I would be late every time.
Yeah.
And I just have to say that up front.
Okay. I'm happy to stay on both. Do you think the Greenways Commission, because I know there are other people on Greenways that can't make the meeting.
I think we'd have to hand it back to George and Jennifer to bring up at the next meeting.
Because I just feel lousy when I don't go to something because people then think that you don't care. And I'm not home partying. I'm like at another meeting, you know. I wish I was home partying. But
maybe in the short term.
I'm going to stop by your house and check.
Yeah, maybe in the short term somebody can sub for you until we sort it out.
And I'd be interested in subbing for you also when you can't make it.
All right. Well, the Greenways thing, can you sub for that? Because you're perfect for that.
Let me check out the date and we'll split.
It's tomorrow.
It's at
6:30. Right. Okay. So anyway, I just kind of thought rather than struggling with it on my own, I'd bring it to the group because.
So we could all struggle with it.
Well, yeah, because you just feel so lousy when you're not.
Carrying through
on your commitment.
Right.
So you're not going to be there either. Okay.
Well, no, not
y'all
tomorrow.
Explore that situation and let us know if we need to make any formal committee assignment changes in the work.
Great.
I'll see what I can do about tomorrow.
Because for the Greenways?
Yeah.
That would, yeah.
If I can.
Okay. So she might be able to be at the Greenways. Thank you.
It's been moved that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying
aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.